I'm glad to be here, and I'm very thankful for the Spirit of the Lord and the people of God.
Thank the Lord.
When we were entering into the house of the Lord, I could feel the presence of the Lord. And then in the song service and all, it's nothing like being with the people of God.
Yes.
And so it almost brings us to tears. When we think about, thank you, the goodness of the Lord and being with the people of God. Yes. The other thing I want to say before we get into the Word of God this morning is that I'm nervous. And so I want you to pray for me. I don't know why the devil fights us so much, but he does. But what we want to do is we want to be pleasing and honoring unto God. We want to talk about going to heaven, and we want to talk about getting closer to the Lord this morning.
Yes.
And so I need your prayers, because the devil doesn't like that, and I know it. And so be praying for me this morning. The last thing I want to say is, I may ask you some questions, and I'm not just asking you just to ask you. I'm asking you because I want to hear what you have to say about it. And so be ready for that this morning.
Yes.
May the Lord be with us this morning, bless and encourage our hearts, and help us out. The title of this discourse is Denial and the State Thereof. So denial and the state thereof. This is what the Lord gave me. I want you to understand that I don't know anything about anybody. I never preach at anybody, and I don't ever intend to. But this is what the Lord gave me when I sought him for what he had for me for today. And so be praying for it. Denial is defined as the action of declaring something to be untrue. The refusal of something requested or desired. State of denial is defined as a state in which a person is unable or unwilling to see the truth or reality of an issue or situation. Lord, help us. Let's go to Revelations 3 and 20. If you leave me there, go ahead and read it. In Revelations 3 and 20.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
I stand at the door and knock.
If any man hear my voice,
open
the door.
Open the door.
I will come in to him. And I will sup with him.
I'll sup with him.
And he with me.
And he with me. The Lord wants to help us. And so what God is saying here, what's being said here in Revelations 3 and 20, in essence is, God is standing by. He's standing at the door of our hearts, and he's wanting to make entrance into our hearts. But you notice that it says there in the scripture that if we don't open the door, he can't get in.
True.
Sometimes, most of the time when we're talking about this, be praying for us, what we're talking about is salvation. And that absolutely applies to this scripture. But it's also talking about our relationship with God on a daily basis. He's still standing at the door, and he's knocking,
yes,
and he's wanting to get in. The enemy does not want him to gain interest into our hearts, because he knows that when God is in our hearts, when we are close to him, then there's power, and there's his will is done, and he's pleased with us. And so the enemy does not want that. And so what he does is he tries to hinder us from getting the Lord in our hearts in a way that be pleasing and honoring unto God. God's standing by. He's standing at the door of our heart. He's knocking. He wants to come in. He loves us.
Yes.
God's currency is love.
Yes.
Want you to get a hold of that. His currency is love. He wants us to experience his love so that we become whole, that we become what he wants us to be. But he also, once he's done that with us and for us, he wants us to go out and be vessels unto honor for him.
Yes.
He wants us to be a blessing to this dark and sinful world. We can't do that in a good way if he's not in us. And we're not allowing him to work in and through us. So the Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. I say this morning, by the help of the Lord, that we need to open that door. You and I have a choice. It's up to us whether or not we're going to open the door. But by the grace and help of God, when we open that door, God can come in. He can bless us and he can help us. May God help us this morning. Somebody go with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2. What does it say?
For he said,
yeah,
I have heard thee in a time accepted.
All right.
And in the day of salvation have I succored thee.
Yes.
Behold, now is the accepted time.
All right.
Behold, now is the day of salvation.
All right, so it says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Day of salvation, what I want us to understand is he's standing at the door and he's knocking. For those that are not saved, he wants to come in. For those that are saved, he wants to stay in there.
Yes.
All right. And so what ends up happening is that we all have a day of salvation. And what that means is that he's not always going to stand at that door and knock.
That's true.
He's not going to always stand at that door and knock. I want young people to listen in and listen up this morning. I know that the Lord deals with you. I know that he does. And so what I want you to understand is that if you will let the Lord come into your heart and into your life as a young person, let him lead and guide and direct you, your life will be blessed.
Yes.
If you do not, if you spurn him, if you turn him away, what will end up happening is you'll be involved in things, you will be in situations that God never intended for you to be in, and it'll be difficult for you to get out.
Yes.
I'm not saying it's impossible to get out, but it's better not to get in a trap. It's better not to get in a situation and then try to get out of one.
Right.
You understand? So what we want to do is when the Lord begin to talk to you young people and anybody, then you say, yes, Lord, I want to hear what you have to say. The song says, I will open my heart door gladly and crown him there today. We have a responsibility to not deny the Lord. The first reading of what denial was is the action of declaring something to be untrue. Do you know the enemy? He wants to, when the Lord comes and deal with our hearts, enemy wants to get in there and
yes.
he wants to say, well, what about this?
Yes.
And what about that? I know that the Lord's talking to you, and I know that you know people of God. But what about when they do this or when they do that? Listen, don't make it about what people are doing. You focus on you. You focus on the Lord.
Yes.
Yes.
If we're doing something wrong, and by the grace and help of God, we don't intend to do wrong, ever.
That's true.
All right? But if we are doing something wrong, God's going to deal with us about that.
Yes.
But don't let the enemy point. What the enemy does is he'll point something out in me or in someone else, and it'll hinder you from getting to the Lord like he wants you to.
Yes.
And I want to encourage you this morning, don't allow the enemy to trick you like that.
Yes.
He wants you to deny God. He wants you to keep that door closed. And so I want you, by the help of the Lord, to say, Lord, please come into my heart.
Yes.
Lord, and while you're in there, make the necessary changes that
yes.
you need to make. It's okay, Lord. I know you know what you're doing. I don't know what I'm doing. And so, Lord, I'm going to let you do something with me, for me, and through me by the grace and help of God.
Yes.
We all have a day of salvation. A time and opportunity to get our souls right before God. What the enemy does, even if you're saved, he's trying to work at hindering you in that process. Trying to get you to a place where, do you know that people, sometimes they are saved and then sometimes they go back on the Lord. How does that happen? How does that happen?
The enemy.
The enemy, right? He gets in there, doesn't he? And he begins to work and he begins to deal. And over time, usually it's over time, he gets us to a place where we begin to deny God. Do you know that God can come to you and to me and say, yes, you are saved. Yes, you are my child. But you have this weakness. You have this fault. You have this shortcoming. And it's up to you and to me to do what? What are we going to do?
Take care of it.
take care of it, right, Lord? Yes, Lord, and this is me. This is where I'm at. Well, listen, I'm talking about me. If you're going to go to heaven, you're going to go this way. God's going to dip. If we were good enough to go to heaven in the first place, we'd already be there. But that's not the case, is it? We got in life, it's time accepted to prepare to meet the Lord. Yes. And so this is our time to prepare to meet the Lord. And so what God does is he puts something in front of us and keeps us focused on working on ourselves and so that we draw closer and yet closer and still closer unto him. Which does by default, it keeps us away from the enemy. It keeps us away from the world. It keeps us down in the depths of humility. And so that's the way that God wants to work with us. And it helps us be the men and women and children of God that he wants us to be. But even though we're saved, if we're careful, if we're not careful, the enemy can get in there and get us to say, when God comes to us, Lord, that don't seem like you might got the wrong person on that deal, Lord. I don't know if that's me or not. Let's look at that again, Lord. We can do the Lord like that. And we don't do it. Listen to me if you don't hear anything else this morning. We don't do that consciously. A lot of what human beings do is subconscious. Yes. It's down in the recesses in the back of our minds. And so when God begins to deal with us, we don't like the way that feels sometimes, and we begin to feel like we want to resist the Lord.
Help us, Lord.
And when that begins to happen, the devil wants to work. We want to ask the Lord to help us not only to not deny him, but don't ever get in a state of denial by the grace and help of God. In life, it's time accepted to prepare to meet the Lord. So we're preparing to meet the Lord on a daily basis. We gain salvation if we don't have it. And once we do have it, we maintain our relationship with the Lord on a daily basis. Yes. This is how we make heaven our home.
That's right.
All right, Hebrews 3 and 15, what does it say? Continue to pray for him.
While it is said,
all right.
Today if ye hear his voice,
all right.
Harden not your hearts,
all right.
As in the day of provocation.
All right, so I want us to understand that we can harden our hearts when we are in sin and God deals with us. When God comes to us and he says, I want you to do this and I want you to do that. I want you to get saved and live right. We can harden ourselves by resisting him in the same way, that same process, if we're not careful. In salvation, when God deal with our hearts, we begin to harden our hearts. We begin to resist the Lord by resisting the Lord. And then the Lord can't work with us. He can't deal with us. We begin to deny the Lord. And so we need the Lord to help us. There's a scripture in the Bible. It's one of my favorite scriptures. I can't recall where it is right now. But it says that it's God that worketh in us. And I want you to get a hold of this. Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so what happens is, if you're saved, you know this, or if you have been saved any amount of time, there's going to be something that God comes and deals with you about that you don't want to do. That's the reality of it.
That's true.
And so what we need to do is, we need to be honest about that. That's the first thing we need to do. Lord, I don't want to do this. The second thing we need to do is we need to remember that scripture is God that worketh in us both to will. Somebody find that scripture for us, please. Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What that means is, Lord, you can help me want to do it, and then you can help me to do it by the grace and help of God.
Philippians
2 and 13. Somebody read that for us, please, if you have it. Make sure I got it right here.
Which worketh in you.
Yes.
To will and to do of his good pleasure.
All right. And so the Lord wants us to understand that, listen, we're human and we have self to contend with. And so self likes to get in the way. And so when God deal with us, what can happen sometimes is self wants to get in the way and it wants to cause us to be resistant or to deny what God is trying to help us with. And what I want us to understand is that God is, he's perfect and he's upright and he's going to do us fair and he's going to do us just all the time. He's trying to get us to heaven the best and the easiest way possible.
Yes.
That's what God's trying to do. But what happens is sometimes in our own wisdom and our own knowledge and our own understanding, we begin to resist the Lord, and then God can't help us in the way that he needs to. And he said he's standing at the door and he's knocking. But like we said earlier, he's not going to stand there and keep knocking. God never will take your choice away from you. God gives you your choices.
Yes.
And so the thing is, one of the things that can stop the will of God is us.
Yes.
God comes and he says, I want you to do something. I want you to deal and work with that. And we say, Lord, I don't want to do it. Then at that point, we are resisting God, and God will not make us do it. And so we have to learn to ask the Lord, Lord, but what did Jesus say in the Garden of Gethsemane? If Jesus had to do it, don't you think we might have to do it?
Yes.
What did he say?
Absolutely.
Nevertheless, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. And so you and I, as people of God, we have to learn that mentality, that mindset, and then take that with us on a daily basis as we endeavor to live for the Lord. He's trying to divide, the enemy's trying to divide something to trip us up, to trap us up, and get us in a condition where we begin to go away from the Lord. We talked about this morning, the vine and the branches. If we don't stay in the vine, if we don't abide in him, if we don't draw nigh to him, how can he help us? If we're way over here and he's trying to shout instruction to us because we're not close enough to hear what he has to say to us, then how can he help us? But if our hand is in his hand, and he says, listen, child, I want to go this way. Listen, child, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. Right there with God, we can do, what does the Bible say? With God, all things are possible.
Yes.
I can do all things through who?
Christ.
Through Christ, which strengthens me.
Yes.
Right? And so our hand stays in his hand. And when we come to a place where we don't want to do something, we take that to the Lord and say, Lord, will you please have mercy upon me? Will you help me? I'm going to do like Jacob did. I'm going to pray until I pray. I'm going to wrestle until I wrestle, until you bless me.
Yes.
That's how you make heaven.
Help me, Lord.
That's how you make heaven, by the grace and help of God. All right, so what happens when somebody offers us in life, when somebody offers us in a natural sense, what happens when some people come and they offer us help? What do we have to do? We got to make an assessment, right? Is this good help? Will it be worth it? These are some of the questions we are asking ourselves. Is it safe? What are the benefits versus the risks? All right. And so the first question I ask is, and I want you to answer this one, but I want you to be thinking about it. Why don't we do that with the Lord? Why don't we do that with the Lord? Before we decide whether we're going to do it or not, why don't we say, is this good help? Is the Lord good at what he's doing?
Amen.
All the time.
Always.
Well, depending on what you're trying to do, you're trying to go to heaven? You're trying to be pleasing and honoring unto God? Then God is going to be the one that's going to help you, right? And it's going to be good help, all right? He says, so is it good help? Will it be worth it? I think it might be.
Yes.
I think it might be. Not only in this life, but in the life to come, in eternal life. You know, God is so good to us. He blesses us, and he helps us right here in this life. I've been lost before. I've been without God before. And do you know that the devil did not help me not one time? He didn't help me. That's one of the reasons why I'm saved. That's one of the reasons why I promote Jesus Christ. Because I know it's true. The devil ain't going to help you. He's not your friend. And even if you be good to the devil, he ain't going to be good to you, because that's not what he does. But God, again, like I said before, God's currency is love. If God's currency is love, then the devil's currency is hate. And so hate has never helped anyone. You understand? And so what we do is, by the help of the Lord, is we give our hearts and our lives to Him, and then He begins to extend His love to us. That's where the healing comes from. That's where the help comes from. If you love somebody, I'm a father, my child is in trouble and they are in need, I don't care what part of the house they in, since they were babies, unless I'm in a deep sleep, I'm going to hear it and I'm going to go see what's going on with my son. Because I want to know what's going on and how I can help. And God, our Heavenly Father, is the same way.
Thank you, Lord.
And so I recommend Christ Jesus. But when He comes to help us, do you know, as a paramedic, I used to, I'm still a paramedic, but I'm not in the field anymore on the front line. But we would go and we'd make runs and we go and people would be messed up bad. And one of the things that I noticed is that sometimes when people are messed up real bad, they don't want you to help them. They don't want you to help them because they are so afraid. They're hurting so bad and they are so afraid that of you messing something up that they don't want you to help them. And so you've got to gain a rapport with them. And then that will enable you for them to trust you. You can trust God.
Yes.
You can trust God. And so even if you're hurting, even if you've got something that is difficult and deep and nobody else knows about it, but you and the Lord, God will help you with that because He can be trusted.
Thank you.
All right. God's going to be there for you. So it's safe. I want to encourage you this morning that it's safe to allow the Lord to help you. He's offering Himself. That's why He's standing at the door and He's knocking. God's record is impeccable. Go to Deuteronomy 32, 3 and 4. You beat me there. Go ahead and read it, please. What does it say?
He is the rock.
He's the rock.
His work is perfect.
His work is perfect.
For all His ways our judgment.
All right.
And God of truth and without iniquity.
All right.
Just and right is He.
All right. And so this writer here in Deuteronomy verses 3 and 4, it talks about, it says, I will publish the Lord. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, and so He's stable.
Yes.
His work is perfect. I want you to hold on to that. For all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. And so God is going to do you right. You don't have to deny. You know, one thing about the Lord that I've learned through salvation is He brings us along at a pace where we can keep up.
Yes.
Do you know that if I have a baby child, a two-year-old, and I got big, long strides, and I'm dragging them along, that's too fast for them. And so just like I would take that into consideration, and I would probably pick the baby up sometimes, and sometimes slow it down when they're trying to walk. And if they fall down, I'll help them get back up. God's the same way with us, is He not?
Yes, He is.
God's that good. He's good like that. And so I want us to understand that God is going to work with us in those ways, and He's going to work with us in a way that we can handle, and at a pace that we can handle. All we have to do is make sure that we're not resisting the Lord. We're allowing the Lord to work in our life like He wants to. God won't fail us. He's not a God of failure. He does not fail. And so we can be encouraged to know that He loves us and He's not going to do us wrong in any way ever. May God help us this morning. All right, I want to talk about a state of denial and denial a little bit more. I want us to go to Exodus 3 and 7. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers for me. My goal and aim is to make heaven my home, and I don't want to go alone. I want you to go with me, and so you continue to pray for me. And I'll be praying for you, but I want to go to heaven. That's the thing about it. It's what did I give you? Was it Exodus 3 and 7?
Yes. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt.
All right.
And have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters.
All right.
For I know their sorrows.
All right. All right. And so the reason why I read that scripture is because the enemy is not only a taskmaster, but he's a hard taskmaster.
Right.
All right? And so you have to remember, when the Lord is dealing with our hearts and the enemy is opposing that, I want you to understand that this is who's opposing what God is saying. Right? The enemy is not only a hard taskmaster, but he taught the Egyptians to be that way. That's why the children of Israel, when they were in bondage, that's why it was such a terrible situation. But what the enemy also does, and I want us to hear this morning, the Lord told me about this, is that he abuses people, and then he convinces them that they're okay. He's an abuser, and then he wants you to be okay with that. Matter of fact, it's your fault that you're being abused. That's the way the enemy does. All right? And so...
I said he will tell you that.
He will tell you that. And so what I want us to understand is God is going to deal with us in a different way. So when God is coming to deal with you and with me, we only have two choices. We're either going to choose the enemy or we're going to choose God. And so we have God's credentials on this side, and then we have the enemy's credentials on this side. All people, I'm telling you from personal experience, in sin, you'll never be whole. You'll never be happy. You'll never have joy and peace and love. You'll never get the enjoyment out of life that God has for you. And then in the end, if you die in that state, you're lost. Also, that's a bad deal. That's a terrible deal. But what he's gotta do is, either if you're saved, he's trying to convince you to give it up. And if you're not saved, he's trying to keep you. He wants to beat you and do you wrong and then keep you in that condition. I'm telling you, there's a better deal than that.
Yes.
There's a way better deal. And so when God comes to deal with you, recognize that that's God's love and mercy that has been extended to you. And in contrast, this hard taskmaster, this abuser, this person that is going to abuse you and keep you in that. Because the problem is you know when you're in sin, I'm speaking from experience here, you know that this is not right. Sooner or later, he keeps telling you the same thing. You put that same carrot out there. Mm-hmm. You can't never get to that carrot.
That's true.
As you move, the carrot moves.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so may God help us this morning. We don't want to allow the enemy to do us like that. We want to choose of the Lord. And so when God is coming to deal with our hearts, then I'm encouraging you this morning to give your heart to the Lord and let him have it, let him keep it, let him live and work and dwell in you. All right? The Bible says in the Word that he's a liar. God is the truth, so the devil is a liar. Who you want to listen to? Who would you rather have helping you in life? Somebody that's going to lie to you? It doesn't stop there. It says that he's a liar, and then it also says he's a father of lies.
Right.
And so he's the originator of lies. And so on the opposite side of that, God would be not only the truth, but the originator of truth. I don't own truth. Did you know that?
Right.
Did you know that I can't manipulate truth? I can't do anything with truth. Truth is what it is. Did y'all know that?
Yes.
And so the enemy, you can see how the world is going in these days. Speak your truth.
Right.
Live your truth.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have no truth. Truth is what it is. I can't do anything about truth. And so may God help us to understand that the devil is a liar. He's going to abuse you, and he's going to come, and he's going to try to hinder you along the way. And I'm telling you, it's better to choose God's way. The state of denial. I won't, or I'm unable to accept truth. If I can't acknowledge truth, I can't accept it. If I don't accept it, how can I do business with God? John 4 and 24, what does it say?
God is a spirit.
God's a spirit.
And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
And so when we deal with God, we have to deal with God in honesty. I've had to pray this prayer. I said, Lord, I believe that I'm being as honest as I know how to be, But I'm asking you to have mercy upon me and help me to be honest with you, Lord. Because ultimately, again, like I said before, I want to make heaven my home. I want to be pleasing and honoring unto God. And I can't do that with guile, with something that is in my heart that won't allow me to do business with God. Remember I was saying before, when the Lord came and deal with us, sometimes what we'll do is we'll say, well, Lord, and I want us to understand something. We don't want to do wrong. We don't intend to do wrong. We don't like doing. When we do wrong, we feel guilt and shame. And so sometimes the Bible says the heart is what? Deceitful. It's deceitful and wicked and desperately wicked. Who can know it, right? And so when we're looking at ourselves, we're thinking that we're okay, but the Lord is coming and he's dealing with us. And so the fact that we don't want to do wrong and we're trying not to do wrong and we don't like doing wrong, we replace that with the fact that God said, this is what's in your heart. And so even our intentions and our wanting to do right and trying to do right, that can hinder us sometimes from accepting the way that God is dealing it with us.
Yes.
And so we have to learn to allow the Lord, and it's a learning way, don't get me wrong. It's a learning way. You go as you grow, and you grow as you go. It's a learning way. That's why he says he's the vine and we are the branches. Both of those things are growing. You understand? And so we're growing by the help of the Lord. But we have to understand that when the Lord come and deal with us, the first thing we have to do is say, Lord, help me. Have mercy upon me. If you're saying that this is me, listen, if it shows up, then it is you. But the situation and the circumstance, Lord, if the situation wasn't like that, then I wouldn't have did that. I wouldn't have said that. I wouldn't have felt that. Whatever the case may be, that's what we do, right?
Yes.
And we justify. We say, Lord, but Lord, they shouldn't have did that. And so therefore, but what God is saying is, I want to cleanse you from that. I want to make you clean. If it wasn't in there, then we wouldn't be dealing with this right now. Right. And so we have to learn to say, Lord, I'm not going to deny you. I'm not going to live in this state of denial. Lord, have mercy upon me. I want you to help me. Lord, I'm going to do right by your grace, help, and mercy.
Oh,
God don't deal with you unless he wants to do something with you and for you. And so you can be assured that he's going to bless and help you.
Yes.
The fact that he's dealing with you means that he wants to help you.
Yes.
And the enemy wants to hinder you from that. And so that's where the excuses come from. And that's where when self rises up, but by the grace and help of God, we can say no to that enemy. We can say no to self. We can get the help that we need, and we can be a blessing. Listen, one of the things that one of the reasons why I'm saving, I'm not lifting my mother up, and it's my mother and it's a whole bunch of other people. But you want people to be saved and live right. You live right.
Yes.
You let God deal with your heart.
Yes.
You ain't got to chase nobody around with the Bible and beat them over the head with it. Live right. And I'm not saying y'all are doing that. Understand what I'm saying.
Right.
I'm saying that when we live right, when I come in, that's why I told you, when I come in contact with the people of God, you will know it. Your spirit and their spirit began to come into unity one with another.
Yes.
And so when somebody that doesn't have that, when they come and they see you and they deal with you, even when do you know that in those difficult situations, when they say something they shouldn't have said, or when they do something to you that they shouldn't have did, and they shouldn't have did it, they shouldn't have did it. But if you got the Spirit of God in you, and you're abiding in him and he in you, and you're allowing him to work on you like you want him to, and then he's making you into what he wants you to be, when they come into contact with you, you're talking about a testimony.
Yes.
You're talking about something that speaks not only to their brain or to their mind, but it speaks to their very spirit and their hearts.
Yes.
It says something is different about this man. Something is different about this woman. Something is different about this child. And you'll find that there, man, sometimes it gets a little annoying.
Yes.
May God help us. But their souls are searching. You know, your soul is designed for light.
Yes. Yes.
Your soul is designed for life. And so their souls are searching for what is right and what is good. And so when they come in contact with you, then what ends up happening is they get some of the Lord with them and to take with them, and then they have to do something with that. But we can't give them God if we are resistant to God when he deals and he works with us. So may God help us this morning. May he help us and bless us. All right, I want to read a scripture. You say, well, you read this to the saints. Yes, I am. Because if you need it, you need it. And if you don't need it, you don't need it. But you need to know how to do something in order to be successful in doing it. And so it says here in Proverbs 28 and 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now that's to the sinner, and I understand that. But the same thing applies to the child of God when God come deal with us about the needs of our soul.
True.
If we want to cover it up, then we're not going to prosper. But if we confess them, we forsake them, we're going to have mercy and God's going to help us. So may God help us this morning. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers for me. I have one more reading in terms of scripture. We're going to spend a little time in Luke 4 and 18. I don't know how long y'all preach out here. And if I'm going over my time, then y'all just forgive me and pray for me. But I want to make sure that here's the thing about it. When God give us something, then I want to give it to you in a way that be pleasing and honoring unto God. I don't know. You know, I'm finding that sometimes the way the Lord works is it might not be directly for you at this time, but it's for somebody. It might be for somebody that you got to talk to later, or it might be somebody that hears it online, or I don't know any of that. But God knows why he does it the way he does it. Yes. But I want to encourage you this morning that I want to do the will of the Lord. So just bear with me for a little while longer. All right. So Luke 4 and 18 says here, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised. All right, and so the enemy doesn't want you to get the gospel in the first place. We're going to deal with the gospel first. What is the gospel?
It's the good news.
It's the good news, isn't it?
Yes.
What is it in its essence? It's something that every person needs to hear. I need to know that I can live, I can be saved by the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
And that I can be kept by the power of God.
Yes.
And that when I am in my salvation, God will help me to do right. And if I mess up, he'll let me know and he'll help me with that too. And ultimately, I'll become more and more like Christ, like the song says, and I'll be pleasing and honoring unto God. Do you know that the enemy doesn't even want people to know anything about that? How can they get help? That's a big reason for suicide. I'm going to talk about it this morning. I'm sorry I have to speak about it, but this is a big reason for suicide. What I do is mental health. And so what happens is people are wanting and needing the Lord. They don't know that they want and they need the Lord, but that's what they need. And so they are searching here and there. They've been traumatized. They've gone through hard and harsh and difficult situations in their lives. And so they're out there and they're looking in all the wrong places for the love of God. You can only get the love of God from God. And so sometimes the enemy will trick them into believing that God is not real. I find that to be a common thread. Many times when people take their lives, they do not believe in God. That's a consistent thing. I see that across the board. And then, so they're searching and they're hoping and they're wishing and they come to the end of themselves and they don't see hope. They don't see hope. And so they, and God has already been removed from the equation, and so heaven and hell is removed from the equation, and so then they do something that is that God never intended for us to do. We know that.
Right.
And so people need to hear the good news of the gospel.
Yes.
But the way that they need to hear it is by the way that we live first.
Yes.
When I have Christ in me, that means that, Lord, you've saved me, and then you're keeping me and you're helping me. People need to see that. And they're going to find you. I promise you they'll find you. They're already doing that. And they're going to say, what do you have that I need, and how can I get it? And you give them the word of God, and you give them the way of God and the will of God, and you may have to even help them and pray with them or whatever it is that you need. But if you'll do that, God will be pleased. And so I want to encourage you that if you're struggling, don't quit by the help of the Lord.
Yes.
Don't quit. And then get to a place where you are a written epistle, read and known of men. Read and known of men. You're living in a way that is pleasing unto God, and you are an extension of the gospel word. All right, it says here he came to anoint me to preach the gospel. The best way I can preach it is with my life first. Everything else will follow. All right, it says, preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I want to ask you this today. If you're saved, are you brokenhearted? No, answer that question out loud. I want you to ask that. I want you to answer that in your mind. If you are brokenhearted and you need fixing, do you believe that God can do it? The first scripture that we read is in Revelations 3 and 20. It said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And I want you to know this morning that we can be saved and sanctified, but we got some brokenness about us that we need the Lord to heal. We're in a situation where we're carrying something, maybe from childhood or something that in the past, where we have been harmed in a mental, emotional, spiritual way, and it's hurting us. And our hearts are broken. Our hearts are heavy. And I want you to know that the good gospel, the good word of God is letting us know that God will heal us. He'll heal us. He is the healer.
Thank the Lord.
The Bible said that God is love. And what that means is, I believe this with all of my heart. I believe that love is the healer. I believe that love heals. Do you know you can take a child that has been damaged and mistreated and hurt and all of that, and you bring them in and let them know that you love them and you show them the love of God, and you will literally, by God's help, God's love in you coming through you to them, you'll actually heal that person? May God help us this morning?
Yes.
All right. And so God wants to take your brokenness, that area in your life that you have been harmed, that area that is hindering you from being what God would have, all that God would have you to be. I want to encourage you this morning that God wants to heal that. But he can't do it if we won't allow him to.
Help us, Lord.
Doesn't mean that he can't do it. It means that we got to let him do it.
Yes.
And like I said this morning when I talked about the paramedic situation, sometimes we've been hurt so deeply, we don't trust anybody with that area of our lives. Not even God. And so we need God to have mercy upon us and to help us. And I'll encourage you this way, because I've had to do it, and I may have to do it in the future if I find something else that I'm hurt about. I've had to ask the Lord to help me to let him help me.
Yes.
I need help, Lord. And I'm living this way, and I'm not getting the fullness of your blessings in my life. I don't have the joy that I want. I don't have the peace. And so I had to ask the Lord to actually help me, to allow him to help me. And guess what I found out? You already know what I found out.
He helped.
Amen. He did help me.
Yes.
And he could handle it. I couldn't handle it. And you know that sometimes other people, they can't handle it. And we'll trust other people before we'll trust God. But sometimes it's God that's going to have to do the healing. It's not going to be that other person. We're going to need God to help us. And so God can help us, and he will help us if we'll let him. Don't deny him. Don't live in that state of denial. Sometimes what we do is, and I've done this many times, and I think this is a illness or a malady of men, especially men. We just deny it. I'm not hurt. Nope, I'm not hurting. No, I don't feel sad. You know? Mm-hmm. We do that because we want to balance. And listen, I'm not telling you to be a weakling or a crybaby or anything like that. If you're a man, you're going to have to be a man. But how can you get help with something if you don't acknowledge that you're even hurt in the first place? How can you get help with it? And it's hindering your life. It's causing you harm. If you break your leg, you're not going to get a cast put on it? You're not going to get some crutches or something? It's not going to heal. It's not going to heal properly, right? And so in the same way, you and I, especially men, but women too, you and I, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to allow the Lord to help us. But we can't let him help us if we deny that we're hurt in the first place. We can't. And so may God help us. Denial and a state of denial has to do with allowing the Lord to even help us to see that, Lord, I need some help here. How can I love my wife like I need to when I'm hurting myself? How can I? And that's to everybody, isn't it? How can I love? Yes. But how can she love her husband like she needs? She wants to, but something will hold her back. I want to. But something is holding me back, right? I'm afraid because I've got this place, and if she touches this place, if he touches this place, it's going to be all over but the crime. And so it's hindering me. Well, when it comes to my children, I want to love them. I want to be close to them. I want to be good with them. But the problem is I've got something wrong, and I need it fixed. And so God, he'll help us with that. I want to encourage you this morning to acknowledge it and let the Lord help you with that. Luke 4:18, going to the deliverance of the captives. One of the blessings of salvation is deliverance. And we always refer to, you know, drugs, alcohol, or promiscuity, things of that nature. And God does all of that. And I thank God for that. And I know that he does that on a personal basis. And I praise his righteous and holy name for delivering me from many things. But one of the things is that when we're hurting, just like we were talking before, or we got some type of issue, some type of, you know, Lord help us. We can be bound by things. They don't even have to be sinful things. But you can be bound by those things, and they can hinder you in your relationship with God. The song says, must I by Satan be accused and with his galling yoke abused until at last by heaven refused the blood of Jesus cleansing. And so what I want us to understand is, for example, one of the things you have to hurdle as a Christian, if you were in sin, is you have to not only understand that God has forgiven you, but that your salvation and your relationship with God is yours. Those sins that were committed, they're over with, and you the slate is wiped, literally clean. And now you are, the Bible says, any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Do you know that you can be enslaved? And I'm just giving you an example about how the enemy can enslave a child of God. We know what we have done, and we know, and he'll try to bring those things up. And so now we feel unworthy of God's love. Now we feel unworthy of doing the will of God. God is calling for us to step up and step out and do something for Him. But because of things that we've done in the past, we're still bound by that thing, even though we're saved.
Help us, Lord.
May God help us. And so what God can do is, He can give us deliverance. He can help us to understand that you are no longer, and you know what the enemy does. One of the things that he does is he enslaves. He enslaves. He works through fear. He works through hatred. He works through force. God works through the opposite of that, through love, through kindness, through mercy, through grace, right? And so a Christian, if we're not careful, the enemy will be trying to hold on to you this kind of way and hold you back from being all that you can be for the Lord. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if you've got a place in your life where you feel like you don't have the freedom in Christ that you want to have, then I want to encourage you this morning, God has that for you.
Yes.
Again, we gotta let him do it, but he will do it for us if we let him do it. All right? May God help us this morning. All right, it says this discovery of recovery of sight. And so I want to say this here, that all humankind have had spiritual sight. You're born with it. You're born with it. Your conscience is part of your spiritual sight. Right? Every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl was born with a conscience. But what the enemy likes to do is he likes to hinder our consciences. When he can hinder our conscience, we won't even see things in the way that we're supposed to see it. The Christian, the man and woman and the child of God, through the Holy Spirit, you get enhanced sight. And you can see in a better way. But the problem is there, that the enemy is always going to oppose that. He's going to want to blind us. He's going to want to take that away from us. And so the scripture says recovery of sight. And so you can have varying degrees of sight. You see, I'm wearing glasses this morning. I used to see clear as day. But I don't see as I used to see in a natural sense. And so in the same way, the enemy wants to, if you're not careful, he wants to dull that sense, your spiritual ability to discern and make choices that are righteous and godly, not only for you, but for everyone else, by the help of the Lord. And so he wants to dull your conscience. The way that he does it is he introduces things to us. The Bible says, be not deceived, what? Evil communication, I did that on purpose, just so y'all know. I knew y'all was going to say God is not mocked, but that's true too. That's true too. But this scripture is, be not deceived, evil communication does what? Corrupt good manners. And so what the enemy does is, you're getting truth, you're getting light, you're getting the blessings of God in your life, and he wants to intermix with that something that is not good. Something that is not, listen, especially young people. Mm-hmm. This is what he does. We can have kind of a Samson mentality as people of God. One of the problems with Samson was, is he thought that it was his strength that he was doing it in, so that was an issue, and he forgot that his covenant with God is what helped him to have the strength and the power that he had and was able to do. And so, especially I've noticed this with children of God, and when I'm saying it in that way, I'm saying people that have saved parents. It seems like we put on this mindset or this suit or something where we think we are impervious because we're getting so much truth and so much gospel and so much goodness. We think that we can't be affected by some of the things that we come in contact with.
Yes.
But the Bible says, be not deceived, evil communication corrupt good manners. And what that means is, when we involve ourselves voluntarily in something that we know is not right,
yes,
Don't try to act like it's good. Don't try to figure out some kind of justification for it. I'm encouraging you this morning to stay separate from those things because it's going to have an effect upon you.
Yes.
And the devil, the people say the devil is patient. I don't believe the devil is patient. He waits, but he's not patient. Patient is an attribute that comes from God, but he will wait. And he will introduce just a little bit of misinformation here. A little bit of lies there. He'll get you looking at somebody in a funny kind of way. And over time, if we're not careful, we begin to not only, because what he wants to do is, he ultimately wants you to deny God. And right. The way that he does it, he goes through God's people. He gets you to find something wrong with your mother. Find something wrong with your father. And so therefore, if they're wrong, then therefore God must be wrong. That's the leap that he's trying to make. And he's patient in that. And I want to encourage you today that that's absolutely not true. We live to all that we know and understand to the best of our ability. We are human. We may make mistakes. If we know that we make a mistake, we'll ask you for forgiveness. Yes. That's a child of God thing too. And then we, by the help of the Lord, we are looking out for your soul. I can, if I'm intending to do right and I'm wanting to do right, and I make a mistake in terms of I overdo it. I'm too strict, whatever the case may be. So sometimes people are mad about parents being too strict. I promise you this morning, you'd rather have a parent that's too strict than one that's not.
Yes.
I promise you that.
Yes, true.
You don't want a parent that's going to let anything and everything into your life and let you get involved in everything, because becoming untangled from that is just about impossible unless God help you. And so I want to encourage you today, don't let our imperfection or our weakness or things that God's working with us on, don't let that hinder you from getting to the Lord like you want him to. All right, so I'm almost finished here. I appreciate, again, your time and your attention, your prayers for me. The last portion of it says here, set at liberty them that are bruised. I want us to understand something about a bruise. A bruise is something, it's an injury, but what's unique about a bruise? What's different about a bruise than other injuries? You can't see it. You can't see it, it's below the skin. You'll see it after a while. But originally, you don't see that thing. It's underneath it. There's damage. Somebody injured you, get injured here, and there's a bruise. Initially, you won't see it. It's underneath the surface. The capillaries are damaged. The muscle tissues are damaged. It hurts, but you can't see it. And so many times, what happens is we need the Lord to help us, because if we can't see it, then we don't see it. You understand?
Right.
I'm talking about the person that is bruised. Remember the denial? Remember, it's just a flesh wound. It's just a little, no big deal. I'll be fine. Right? Mm-hmm. But it hinders us. It can hinder us. It says to set at liberty them that are bruised. So in the same way that God wants to heal our broken hearts, he wants to do the same thing about the bruises that we have, the injuries that we have that are below the surface that nobody knows about, the injuries that we are downplaying and we're thinking they don't matter and they don't count, they're not even affecting us. I'm encouraging you this morning by the grace and help of God to bring that to the Lord. The Lord wants you to be whole. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be able to go out and fight and do his will. And we can't do that when we've got something underneath the surface that is holding us back. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers for me. The takeaway would be God is still and yet offering his help. He says he's standing at the door and he's knocking. He's knocking at the hearts of those that are lost. He's knocking at the hearts of those that are living for him. He wants to come in a greater way. He wants to come and sup and make his abode with us. And so I want us to understand that God can do all of those things, and he wants to do those things. But if we deny him, or if we are living in a state of denial, he's not going to be able to do it. So I want you to, by the help and grace of God, hear the word of God this morning. If it touches your heart, if the Holy Spirit deals with you, then tell the Lord that you're going to be willing. You're going to let him help you. And may God help you. May God help me. I want to make heaven my home. I want you to go with me. And so you be praying for me. I will be praying for you. Thank you for your prayer.